Now, since the modern mind tends not to like absolutism, I think I would hasten here to stress that it's not fair to blame it all on Luther, because Luther's Catholic rivals produced their own sets of arguments for absolutism, which were maybe not as influential as Luther's, but maybe that's because they didn't write them as well. And these ideas were based on the writings of the 13th century Catholic philosopher Thomas Aquinas, who's also a saint of the Catholic Church. Now, Aquinas had argued that in order to establish a legitimate political society, you need the consent of the people. This is a rational process. The people choose to establish some kind of higher political order from a state of nature in order to make themselves have a better life, and so on and so forth. There is, however, an essential qualification. Aquinas would say that when a community becomes a political community and establishes a ruler over it, the sovereignty is alienated to that ruler. It's not merely a delegation of sovereignty, it's a complete alienation of sovereignty. And therefore, once the political community has been established, the ruler is the sovereign, not the people. The ruler is considered, in the Latin phrase, to be legibus solutus, that is to say, he's completely unfettered by any formal obligation to obey the positive laws, that is to say, the laws, the human laws that are passed in his kingdom. Aquinas, like I said, was a 13th century philosopher. For our own purposes, it is worth stressing that the early 16th century sees a revival of Thomistic ideas at the University of Paris, in particular at the Sorbonne, which is the theology faculty of the University of Paris. Now, these 16th century neo-Thomists, as they're called, have a whole series of disputes with Luther and the Protestants. They argue over all kinds of theological issues, over all kinds of ecclesiological issues. But for our purposes, the most important argument that the Neo-Thomists had with Luther was over the authority and the nature of the Church itself. Unlike Luther, the Catholic Neo-Thomists argued that the Church is a law-making authority. It is a body with jurisdictional and with coercive powers. And there were two key aspects of this. First of all, the Neo-Thomists insisted that the Church was an independent legal authority. That is to say, it had authority independent of secular command. It had its own code of canon law, which was in parallel with the secular law of the kingdom, but which was never in subjection to the civil laws of the commonwealth. Second of all, the Neo-Thomists argued that supreme power to legislate in the church remains at all times with the pope. In other words, in the eyes of these Catholic Neo-Thomists, the Catholic Church itself is an absolute papal monarchy. Nevertheless, and this is worth stressing, the wider political implication of Neo-Thomistic ideas was a rejection of the claim that all coercive authority has to be secular, which, as you'll recall, was Luther's suggestion. And this argument, that there is authority outside of secular powers, was most fully elaborated by the fellow I mentioned to you earlier, the Spanish Jesuit Francisco Suarez, in a very ugly dispute with King James I of England. James I of England in the early 17th century was concerned about the infiltration of his kingdom by Jesuit priests who were sneaking into England and trying to convert people back to Catholicism and revive the Catholic Church. He was very angry about this and claimed what you might call drastic powers to prevent this. And Suarez wrote a treatise against him, which incidentally made James so angry that he had it burnt in the public marketplace. But Suarez argued that the Pope does have the power to coerce temporal princes, to coerce secular authority in two distinct ways. First of all, Suarez argued that the Pope may coerce monarchs with ecclesiastical sanctions. That is to say, he can excommunicate them or he can place on their kingdom the interdict. That is to say, he can suspend all religious services in the kingdom. And since this would, needless to say, create all kinds of distress and anxiety, to say the least, among a church-going population, that would be a fairly intense form of coercion. Furthermore, in extreme cases, Suarez argued, the Pope may even deprive kings of their kingdom, and he may release subjects from their oath of allegiance to the crown. In other words, it falls to the Pope to defend the subjects of an heretical prince and liberate them from any manifest danger to the safety of their souls. Now, it will by now probably have occurred to you that this notion that there is a religious authority which can override a secular authority will open the door to certain kinds of constitutional ideas, because after all, once you have the idea that the monarch doesn't have all the power and that ultimately his power can be overridden by the church, there's already the opportunity there to create arguments suggesting how a monarch and on what justification a monarch can be restrained. And what in fact we're going to find is that most of the people in early modern Europe who argue for constitutionalism tend to be what at least the 19th century would have called religious fanatics. That is to say that they live in a world where, in the sort of old children's game of rock, paper, and scissors, ecclesiastical authority or religious conviction for that matter ultimately always trumps whatever a monarch may tell you to do. In other words, we end up with a very interesting paradox, which we'll explore more in our next lecture, that those people who insisted on what would ultimately become ideas of civil liberty and the independence of the citizenry or the political nation vis-a-vis the monarch are usually the same people who are extremely intolerant about people of any other religion. And the inverse is also true. Those kinds of people who are willing to allow, in early modern Europe at least, broader tolerance of other kinds of religions usually make that situation secure by saying, but of course, the king has the final say on everything.